The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. A developing story here with Deshaun Watson. A third civil lawsuit has been filed against Watson. This one accuses the Texans quarterback of sexual assault, alleging that Watson forced a massage therapist to have oral sex with him. The previous two lawsuits also accuse Watson of inappropriate behavior with massage therapists. The attorney filing these lawsuits says he's been hired by 9 women to bring cases against Watson. So far, 3 civil suits have been filed. Watson has not responded to these latest accusations, but tweeted Tuesday night that he has never treated any women with anything other than the utmost respect. Adam Schefter is here, and Adam, what more can you tell us?
Well, Laura, I think what we have to know here is the NFL is aware of the situation. It is not commenting on the situation at this time, but we should point out that there are no criminal charges yet. There are mounting suits piling up for Deshaun Watson right now, and this is troublesome and concerning for him, for the Houston Texans, and for the National Football League. But again, no criminal charges at this point in time. We await further word coming in along with further information as it pertains to Deshaun Watson's future in the NFL, if we could even get away from charges that are serious and concerning. I think other teams are monitoring the situation, but I still think that Deshaun Watson is somebody that everybody wants on their football team because of the character and the reputation that he's developed over time. He's had a pristine reputation. These are charges now that obviously come up and raise questions. Everybody wants answers, but I want to point out again, no criminal charges. We await further word.
Yeah, that's important context here, and certainly we'll keep everybody updated with the latest as Adam gets it. Adam Schefter with us all show long. Some more news to get to today on NFL Live. Carson Wentz officially introduced as a Colt now that we're a day into the new league year, and Wentz hoping for a world-class makeover in Indy with Frank Reich, who made a big bet on Wentz, putting his career on the line to bring in the quarterback. They were an excellent match before, the Colts well-built around Wentz. So here's what Wentz said today about his fresh start.
You know, you got to just be intentional one by one, build those relationships. And like you said, respect is earned, not given. So I look forward to earning a lot of guys' respect. And, I'm confident that that will happen. Coach Reich, you know, I'll never forget when I was working out up in Fargo, North Dakota before the draft. It was an instant that we just had this connection on how we see the game and how we challenge each other and ultimately make each other better. Super excited about getting to work with him again because I have the utmost respect for the man that he is, but also the coach that he is as well.
All right, these guys here with you for the next hour as well as Shefty, Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, Matt Miller will join us for a little draft talk later. But let's get back to what we just heard from Carson Wentz introduced today. Dan, I'll ask it as simply as this. How does he move forward?
Listen, Carson Wentz's success this year will start off the field. There are more questions than answers about him right now. So how is he going to turn the bad of last year into the good this year? What did you learn when it comes to relationships? How are you going to be better at relationships? How are you going to be better at leadership? How are you going to be better at handling the adversity off the field? I mean, he just talked about earning the respect of his teammates and in the locker room. Think about this. He can go into that locker room right now. This is what I would do if I was him. Sit down with those new Colts teammates. How did Philip Rivers do it? Philip came from a different team, and he came off of a down year. What did he do that endeared himself to you guys? How did he earn your guys' respect? What's stuff that clicked with you guys? Because the reality is, you don't have to sit here and say that you've got to be somebody you're not. You can still be the genuine, authentic person that you are. But the reality is you should be ever changing. You should be ever growing. And I like the fact that he said, I've got to be intentional. Because the truth is this. When September comes, no one cares about your excuses or explanations. You've got to figure out in the next 5 months, in the midst of a unique offseason again, how to prove to your teammates that you're the guy. Prove to your teammates that you will take over this locker room and become part of it. That's his biggest challenge. And once he realizes that off the field is equally, if not more important, on the field, that's when he can start to rebuild his career.
Yeah, no doubt, D.O. I think self-awareness.
as well. Like, the Indianapolis Colts don't need Carson Wentz to come and fix them as a football team. He needs to – they need him to come add to what they already have going, already building. And there's a mound of pressure on Carson Wentz that he never would have felt in Philly because of the situation that he walks into. And then Frank Reich as well. Like, Frank Reich has attached his job to Carson Wentz and turning him around and making him the quarterback that can get this team to where they think they can go. Right. Look, Indy is set. They have a good offensive line, obviously. They got made moves at tackle. They have a good running back, good receivers, a defense that played at the top level of the NFL last year. So Carson Wentz is not coming into a bad situation. This is a rehab for Carson Wentz. This is not a rehab for the Indianapolis Colts. He needs to be aware of that as well. And look, I wish and hope that Carson Wentz turns this thing around and has a lot of success. I'm just going to sit back and see how he handles the pressure, because now you're on a playoff team. You're around guys. Darius Leonard put it out there. Right. Come here to win. Don't care about what you have to say. Don't care about your past, the things that transpire, what people talk about. If you're going to come play for the Indianapolis Colts, come to win. So there's a lot on the line for Carson Wentz, but there's also a lot on the line for the Indianapolis Colts football team as far as where they want to go, and it's a hell of a lot on Frank Reich for sticking his neck out there to say, I'm the guy that can get the Carson Wentz that we saw in 2017. And if he is, the Indianapolis Colts are absolutely a legit Super Bowl contender.
Well, let's go there with Frank Reich, because, Dan, we keep seeing all this video on the screen of Reich and Wentz together and their great relationship. Yeah, sure. But it was a risk, certainly, that Reich took. How does he coach Carson Wentz? How does he start this process? Is it, like, early on being really tough on him? Is it nicer? No. Give us the roadmap
here. Yeah, it's a great question. I say it's a sequence. This is a slow build. It's everyone think of Tiger Woods. He'd always talk about, like, he wanted to build and get ready for the Masters. That's when he wanted to peak. You don't want Carson Wentz to peak in June. You want him to be peaking performance and confidence-wise September, October, November. So it's really rebuilding that foundation, rebuilding the confidence, rebuilding the fundamentals and the basics that allowed him to become a really good player in this league. And it's a slow process by Frank that is going to be this evolution of everything. You're not trying to kind of take off the gloves right now and hammer him. Eventually you do. Mm-hmm. Eventually that hard coaching and accountability will be needed. But right now you got to rebuild yourself. Two things I think are really important into this conversation. I never thought that Carson had the ability to be the guy and a guy in Philadelphia. I thought that Matthew Stafford and Peyton Manning both had this great quality. They knew they were the guy. They knew they were the CEO of the billion-dollar company. When they walked into the room, the way they carried themselves, the way they handled practice, you knew that they knew they were the guy. But when they were in the locker room, they were a guy. They were just one of the 53 guys. They had these relationships with everybody on the football team, white, black, starter, backup, offense, defense. That's really important for him to get into that groove. And Marcus, I'd love to hear your point on this, because he talked about respect, right? I think quarterbacks in the NFL earn respect differently than every other position. I think a lot of positions, you earn your respect by your performance on Sundays. Quarterbacks, it's like being the president. It's 24/7, 365. Every single thing you do matters to your teammates.
Because, and to your point, Dan, because you're not only trying to get the offensive guys to play for you, you're trying to get the defensive guys to play for you. And one of the common factors when I played in college with Matt Mark as a quarterback or Rohan Davey, when I was in the league with Tony Romo, I never played with a quarterback beyond college where I felt like, if we get this dude the ball back, he gonna make it happen. That's on the field. But also the swag to come to us and say, hey, man, give me one more. Yeah. I got us.
Right.
That's the kind of dudes that I've always kind of wanted to follow and have as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, Dan.
Yep.
Being the guy, but being a guy.
Yep.
And being able to interpret that. And to your point, I think it was important you said, don't change who you are from the foundation. Yeah. Like, I haven't heard anybody question Carson Wentz's intent or who he is as a person as far as how he treats people.
Yeah.
It's just galvanizing guys.
Yeah.
It's galvanizing guys to make them feel like, yeah, that's not only our quarterback and our leader, that's my dude.
Yep.
Yep. And that's where you try to get as a quarterback.
That's when you'll run through a wall for guys. Like, that's when you'll be like, I'll go die for that dude on the football field.
So owner Jim Irsay today actually said that Wentz can be the guy they build their team around over the next decades. We'll see about that. All right, let's get Adam back in here. A flurry of more signings over the last couple hours. Let's go to Will Fuller, who just happened.
Well, Laura, before we get to that, I would run for a wall if Dan Orlovsky were my quarterback. On to Will Fuller. He gets a one-year deal done with the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins get a deep threat. Now, keep in mind that Fuller will miss the first game of last year on that six-game suspension that kicked into place last season. But Fuller to the Miami Dolphins. And how about this one? The former Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky goes to the Buffalo Bills on a one-year deal to back up Josh Allen. Trubisky was sifting through his free agent options, thought the best one was in Buffalo. Obviously will not be a starter this year, and he'll continue to grow, learn, and hopefully improve. And the former Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph goes to the New York Giants on a two-year deal worth about $16 million. Giants get another tight end, another offensive weapon, and they might not be done yet with them visiting tonight with Kenny Golladay, who spent last night, by the way, with the Chicago Bears. And Kenyon Drake, the former Cardinals running back, goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders lost their offensive line, need defensive help, put some money into running back when they have Josh Jacobs. Curious decision, but there's nothing curious about Kenyon Drake's talents. A tremendous running back when he's healthy and a very good pickup for the Raiders. And the tight end, two-time Pro Bowl tight end, Jared Cook, agrees to a deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. They needed somebody to help replace Hunter Henry. And so they now will turn to Jared Cook. They've added two players along the offensive line, a tight end, obviously some moves to try to help the growth of the great young quarterback, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Adam, I thought your point on the Raiders is really interesting. Curious what's going on there. We'll get to that a little later on. But, Dan, of those that Adam just mentioned, your most interesting signing.
I love the fact that the Bills signed Mitchell Trubisky. Two reasons. Something that we've really learned about the Buffalo Bills organization over the last 18 months, they're developing quarterbacks. They have developed Josh Allen. This could be really good for Mitchell Trubisky individually with his career. The second thing is the Bills are a Super Bowl contending football team. So what you want in that situation is if something happens to Josh Allen for a game or two, can you get a guy that can just win you the game? Just he's got some experience, there's some skill, there's some talent that just win you a game that's meaningful. That's why this signing is a big deal, both individually for the player and for the football team.
Yeah, Dan, I'm on Jared Cook. I love this for Justin Herbert in Los Angeles. I love the fact that they're giving their young quarterback binkies, right? You sign a center in Corey Linsley. You signed Jared Cook, and the most comforting thing that a young quarterback that can have is a tight end that can win mismatches because of size and who he's matched up on. Not to mention, you also have Keenan Allen already. So, look, this franchise is beautifully taking into account that they have a young quarterback on a rookie deal who surprised and shocked everybody. Now let's surround him with some pieces. Hopefully we can get Derwin James back healthy and get this defense back to the level that they were playing. But Jared Cook to the Chargers makes all the sense in the world based on what we saw from Justin Herbert last year and what this team plans on doing with that young stud quarterback that they have.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us here on NFL Live. New league year official yesterday at 4. And we talked about some free agents that have come off the board, some skill players at the top of the show with Adam. But tell us what's the latest with some guys that are still out there, starting with Kenny Golladay.
Well, Laura, here's the interesting part about these situations with all players. There are teams that are reportedly interested in each player, but sometimes there are teams out there that we don't know about. And a perfect example is with Kenny Golladay. The Chicago Bears last night flew him to Chicago, met with the Bears GM, Ryan Pace, met with the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, and again, they spent time. Nobody talked about Chicago as a potential landing spot for Kenny Golladay. There are other teams in the mix as well. He's supposed to visit the New York Giants tonight. We'll see how that one unfolds, but it's interesting on a lot of levels because you have a Chicago Bears team that's already franchised Allen Robinson. And if they happen to sign Kenny Golladay, then you wonder what that means to the future of Allen Robinson in Chicago. Mm. Meanwhile, he's supposed to be in New York visiting with the Giants. They certainly could use a wide receiver at this point in time. But I think it just goes to show you sometimes that just when it looks like you think you might have an idea of who certain players are talking to, or when it's sometimes being reported that they're talking to teams, those talks are not what you think, and there sometimes are little things going on behind the scenes that people don't always realize.
Yeah, and you wonder, I mean, say what you want about Andy Dalton, but you wonder if Allen Robinson was hoping for an upgrade at quarterback. So there's a lot going on there, to your point. Adam, of course, with us for the rest of the show. Let's talk, though, about these wide receivers as it relates to the NFL draft. And for that, we bring in ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller, who's joining us here today. Matt, we'll start with you on this. What teams are you watching in free agency that may have an impact on the draft?
Yeah, guys, I think we have to start with a team that Adam just mentioned, the New York Giants. And if they're bringing Kenny Golladay in tonight for a visit, maybe that deal gets done. But the Giants at 11 have been a pivot point in the first round as a team that maybe could take that second or third wide receiver off the board. Maybe that's Devontae Smith from Alabama. Maybe it's his teammate Jalen Waddle. You could forget about Kyle Pitts being there from Florida as an offensive weapon. But the Giants have been one of those teams where maybe you can cross off that as the biggest need. I don't think general manager Dave Gettleman, who traditionally does not like drafting receivers early, maybe he doesn't want to go that route. So a short-term contract, with Kenny Golladay, maybe a better option for them. Now, just in the same state there, in New Jersey, the Jets, another team that at 23 overall, not at 2 overall, but at 23, they're a team that maybe they would want to go wide receiver to pair with guy Denzel Mims, who they drafted in the second round last year. If they're able to get a deal done with someone like Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe we see the Jets not have to reach and take that fourth or fifth wide receiver off the board. Instead, they could look to bolster the offensive line where they missed on some of the big names in free agency, or maybe even the corner position where they desperately need some help on the back end of the secondary.
Mm. Yeah, we've kind of put Juju with the Ravens, but Jets is kind of interesting there. All right, this thing's the elephant in the room here, Dan. You're going to rank your free agent wide receivers and draft wide receivers combined. So keep in mind, people out there, this is probably what NFL teams are doing right now. Dan, how are you looking at it?
Yeah, if I was going to sign these guys or draft them, this is where I'd rank them. First of all, Will Fuller's off, okay? Just everyone knows, just signed to the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to make 1 and 2 super easy, folks, okay? Ja'Marr Chase is number one. He's going to be the next Larry Fitzgerald type of wide receiver in the NFL. Great body control and ball skills. Devontae Smith, number two. We've all heard the comparison to Marvin Harrison. He reminds me a lot of Justin Jefferson from LSU. So those guys are squarely 1-2. Now, this is when it becomes interesting because is it Juju Smith-Schuster, Golladay? Nope. I'm going to go Jalen Waddle as the third most desired guy. The NFL game right now is about speed and playmaking in space, yards after catch. This kid is absolutely spectacular. Now, out of respect for his ability to be tough, I'm going to put Juju Smith-Schuster at the fourth most desired guy. Listen, he's proven in the NFL. I don't think he's a one. I think he's a really, really good two. But I don't like the fact that he's not going to run by a ton of people. But I love his toughness. I love his competitiveness and reliability. My fifth guy that I would put there is Terrace Marshall Jr., okay? Another LSU guy. I think they recruit well. I actually called a couple of games of this kid's this year. I think he's just a little bit bigger version of Devontae Smith, but not as top-line speed. He's got great savvy in his routes, sets up with body length or body angle really well. And honestly, Ruddy, like, I could drop down here. I could put Rashad Bateman from Minnesota up there. Now, everyone at home, you're going to go Minnesota. Listen, he's from Georgia. He was going to go to Georgia, and then he went to Minnesota because of P.J. Fleck, okay? So don't think just because he went to Minnesota. This kid is a baller, okay? So I think I would take three of these college kids before I desired or tried to sign one of the free agents left, starting with Juju.
Yeah, you got Kadarius Toney down there who's like a jack of all trades, can do so much in an offense. This is fascinating to me because I'm with you on the electric talent of some of these college guys, but they're unproven at the NFL level. You didn't even put some of the big names that have already done things in the NFL on this list. I mean, Kenny Golladay is still down there. He's not even in your top five.
Here's my thing. Okay, quickly, but Kenny Golladay, I think he needs to go to a veteran quarterback. He's one of those receivers that doesn't win a ton. Mm. He's not going to get open for guys a lot, so you have to have a comfort level of he's covered, but he's not because I can throw him the ball and he's got that great range. T.Y. Hilton, he's got some tread on his tires, still a great player, but I want one of these younger guys and 4 or 5 years of his production in comparison to T.Y. if I have the opportunity. And I agree, Tony's a really electric player. Again, these guys are interchangeable for me. If I was signing one, I'd focus on Juju.
Wow. Yeah, Terrace Marshall, by the way, almost like a tight end body size-wise.
Yeah, big boy.
All right, Marcus, I know you love Ja'Marr Chase, but what do you think about this list?
I like it a lot. And I think the most important thing about the list is it's truly honest. Like, somebody got to say it, y'all. So I'm going to be the guy, all right? Everybody been running from this because we get caught up in free agency and the market. And this is no disrespect to Kenny Golladay, who I think is a really good football player, or Juju. But ain't no receivers in this market scaring anybody. These names don't really put a team over the top. Like, let's be real about it. And I'm not trying to slight the guys that are in free agency, right? But that's the reality. There are no Megatrons in this free agency, no DeAndre Hopkins. There are no even DK Metcalf, because of his ability and what he had the ability to show. If he was in this, there are guys that determine their own market. There are no receivers in this market like this. I'll give you an example. Me and Aaron Donald, if we were both free agents, I better not call my agent talking about let's wait till Aaron Donald signed to see how we slot. You ain't in that market, Marcus. So Marcus. That's the reality of what we're watching with these receivers.
Matt, what do you think?
No, I love the LSU bookends there, just to keep Marcus happy. Dan, you're doing a great job with that. I am going to fight with you here. I think Kadarius Toney has to get on this list, and I'm with you guys. Kenny Golladay scares me. I think he's 28 years old. He played 5 games last year. A little bit of an older receiver hitting the market for the first time. That does concern me. Juju, I think his best year was 2 years ago, so we're seeing someone who's not peaking at the right time. That scares me a little bit. I would throw Kadarius Toney in there from Florida. I know he's not maybe the straight line fast guy that Jaylen Waddle is, but he is a jack of all trades that can do everything, whether it's line up in the backfield, you can motion him all over the place, he can play out wide, he can play in the slot, and he is a more physical, smaller receiver, right? He's short, not small. And so I see him as someone that can be a difference maker in an offense. Had he not gone to Washington, he would have been perfect there with Scary Terry, but I got to get Kadarius Toney in my top five.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are incredibly proud to announce that the Walt Disney Company, ESPN, and the NFL have reached a landmark 10-year agreement. The new agreement, which begins in 2023, will see ABC and ESPN broadcast 2 Super Bowls following the 2026 and 2030 seasons. But there's even more. ABC and ESPN will now have 23 total games each year. And we're very excited to announce that ESPN Plus will stream 1 exclusive national game each year, which will take place at an international location. Oh, wait, one more really exciting bit of news for fans. This new deal will also include flex scheduling for Monday Night Football for games in Week 12 and beyond. Bob Chapek, Chief Executive Officer of the Walt Disney Company, shared his thoughts on the agreement. This landmark agreement guarantees that ESPN's passionate fan base will continue to have access to the best the NFL has to offer, bringing all the considerable and unique capabilities of the Walt Disney Company and ESPN to the table. Opens up so many opportunities across our industry-leading direct-to-consumer broadcast, cable, linear, social, and digital outlets. A statement from Jimmy Pitaro, Chairman of ESPN and sports content. When ESPN and the NFL work best together, the results are transformational for sports fans and the industry. Some of the most remarkable collaborative examples have occurred in the past 12 months and have demonstrated the extraordinary range of the Walt Disney Company that is fundamental to this agreement. It's a wide-ranging agreement, unlike any we've reached with the NFL, and we couldn't be more energized about what the future holds. This is incredibly exciting news for us here at ESPN and the Walt Disney Company. Adam, I'll send it to you with your reaction.
Well, Laura, a couple of other things that I should also point out. From now on, starting I think in 2023, ESPN will broadcast not only a wild card game, but also a divisional playoff game, which is big.
Ooh.
And ESPN Plus, starting in 2022, will exclusively broadcast 1 game each year. So the only place to find that game will be on ESPN Plus.
Awesome. Dan, what do you think?
I thought Marcus was good. I absolutely love this. Great job, Jimmy Pitaro. This is awesome. To see the flex scheduling on Monday Night Football is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, four or five years from now, we get a Super Bowl. I mean, that is absolutely awesome. And the ESPN Plus content, I mean, you guys know me. I'm a football nutcase, so I absolutely love it. Great job. This is awesome.
It's amazing. I'm so happy about it. I've always wanted to be in a stadium for the Super Bowl. That's all I can think about. Like, I'm going to be able to be in the stadium for Super Bowl, possibly on the sideline, if I can get the bosses to agree. The second thing is, I'm going to be here to get on y'all nerves, American people, for a long time. I can't wait. I'm excited about it, man.
Good job, awesome. Jimmy Pitaro.
It's awesome that we have this opportunity.
Pretty amazing stuff. Yes, congratulations to ESPN, to Disney, and the NFL on this. And we're really, really excited to be a small part of it. Well, if you're Adam, you're a big part of it. But anyway, let's get to some more news here on NFL Live, guys, as we carry on. Talk about the NFC East. And here's the thing about what happened with Washington, adding Ryan Fitzpatrick, Curtis Samuel, William Jackson III to their offense. They've made some big-time additions. And then you see below that what the Cowboys have done. It's a little bit of a different story. I say all this to just set Dan up really well here because that's my job on NFL Live. Dan, with the ads and free agency, where does Washington stand in the NFC East for you?
Washington is the favorite to win this division. I was leaning this way yesterday morning before Washington signed Curtis Samuel. I mean, think about this football team, right? No, they got a great defense, but they added a quarterback that's incredibly aggressive. He plays with like a careless style of football. So he's going to have some turnovers. Let me teach everybody about turnovers. It's not just about turnovers. What happens when you turn the football over is the biggest issue. Washington's defense is awesome. So if Fitzy has a stretch of some turnovers, but the defense doesn't give up any points for it, it's not going to hurt the football team. That will give Fitzy to play with more confidence. And when he plays with that kind of don't care about the circumstance confidence, that's when he goes on those stretches that we see in the NFL. That's why he played so well in Miami last year, because their defense would constantly be getting those turnovers. I love the addition of Samuel, someone outside of McLaurin. So you got McLaurin, Samuel, and Gibson. Three young, fast, dynamic playmakers on offense. William Jackson, the corner from Cincinnati, was good in Cincinnati. He didn't have this defensive line. Washington is a clear favorite in the division now for me.
I'm just trying to think about how I want to address this. Like, I know we on TV and I'm supposed to be ready as soon as you get done talking, but I'm trying not to get outside of myself because you've been making outlandish statements this offseason and I don't know where it's coming from. First of all, right, I love what Washington football team has done. Y'all have me on record saying if they get one of these quarterbacks that we were talking about, big-time quarterback, not Fitzpatrick, that would be the team that I would see be as a sleeper in the playoffs to almost be a Super Bowl contender. But let's pump the brakes for a second. Can we acknowledge that the other teams in the NFC East still have an offseason? Can we acknowledge that the team in Dallas, Texas has the best quarterback in the division? Last time I checked, Dan Orlovsky, he thinks a lot in the regard of a franchise based on who the quarterback is. Number one, Dak Prescott, best quarterback. The defense in Dallas brought in Quinn to get back to a 4-3 attack up the field defense. I'm making a play for that, right? You look at, by the way, I think Washington dropped two to the Giants last year. I could be wrong, but I think that's the scenario. This division, don't let last year get y'all twisted. Don't let the division get y'all to it. These teams will be better. The Cowboys will be crazy better. And for you to say Washington has ascended because of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Well, that's, you out of your damn mind, Darren Orlovsky.
This is why. This is
bro.
Why I know you're
and
getting
you
old.
You knew you was gonna get this reaction out of me.
This is why I know you're getting old. I didn't say they've ascended strictly because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mentioned McLaurin and I mentioned William Jackson.
Well, you
the last
gave
time
me a soliloquy,
we saw the Dallas
you
football
gave
team,
me a soliloquy
last
about
time we
Ryan
saw the Dallas Cowboys
with so
with
much
Dak
confidence.
Last time we saw the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott healthy, they were an 8-8 football team. You continue to talk about Dan Quinn coming over as the defensive coordinator. He bring a new defensive lineman with him? Because you know that defensive scheme is predicated on defensive linemen. They got Alden Smith there? No, he's not even signed. He doesn't fit the scheme, Marcus. The defense was bad last year.
They're
worse today.
So Washington then made all they moves and ain't nobody else going to do nothing.
That's
how creature of the moment you're going to be?
Marcus, is Dallas's defense better today or worse than they were that last season?
I believe they're better because the scheme is better. You and I had 1,000 conversations about Dallas defense.
Marcus, who's
going to
rush the quarterback?
Absolutely out of
who's
position.
Who's going to rush the quarterback?
You know what I
who
think?
Who's going to rush the quarterback?
So we have to go to break, but you know what I think is funny about this? We've had role reversal here because Marcus is making a quarterback case and you're making a defense case and you're using it against each other.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's chat Philly on NFL Live. Jalen Hurts has been publicly backed by the Eagles as their starter, for now, of course. But look, it seems like they really think he could be the future of the franchise, and that makes you wonder how they'd approach the draft. More on that in a moment, but first, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman spoke to the media today.
All right, we have one quarterback on our team, so we're thinking about Jalen and the things that he does well, what he did well at Alabama, what he did well at Oklahoma, what he did well last year when he was here, and we're thinking about through those things and how we can make him as successful as we possibly can.
Like Coach said, and he reminds me daily, we only have one quarterback on our roster, so it's definitely not going to stay that way. We want to have a really strong quarterback room. We feel like we have incredible coaches on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball who can maximize quarterback play. And so we're going to look at the free agent market. We're going to look at the trade market, and we're certainly going to look at the draft to try to strengthen that position.
Okay, that's interesting. He says we're going to look at the draft to strengthen the position, but who knows exactly what that means. So, Marcus, they've got the 6th overall pick. Should the Eagles draft a quarterback at 6 if there's one there?
First, let me say this, y'all. If I ever get hired as a GM, I'm going to be a hell of a lot excited than what I just saw from Howie Roseman during the draft. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Yes, I would. I would. I would explore this. Look, everyone knows I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan, and I believe Jalen Hurts has proved people wrong along this path. But if I'm Philly and I've identified one of these quarterbacks that we've been talking about between Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, yeah, I'm bringing them in for competition. That's a part of football. But I'm also bringing them in if I'm evaluating them and I think they have more talent or they can do more with what we have at the quarterback spot, or I see them as future guys that could be a part of at that position and take us in. No aspersions on Jalen Hurts. He may be the guy. But to say that the Eagles shouldn't explore that if they feel better about a guy and they have the availability to take him, that'd be crazy. That's bad business.
The Eagles should absolutely not entertain taking a quarterback at 6. Right now, the Eagles are looking for an answer at quarterback, okay? Play Jalen Hurts. This is not a great football team. This is not a good football team roster-wise. Play Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts plays well, there's your answer. You've got a cheap quarterback that's going to cost you like $5 million over the next 4 years. That's what almost every general manager in the NFL wants, a young, cheap quarterback. Play Jalen Hurts, and if he stinks, you've got your answer. You need to go find a quarterback, and you're likely, because the quarterback played poorly and your football team wasn't good, going to have a high draft pick next year. That's when you could actually address the quarterback situation rather than from 6 this year. And stop telling me we know what Jalen Hurts is. He's played for 4 games. Sam Darnold's played for 3 years. We don't even know what Sam Darnold is, okay? Play Jalen Hurts this season.
Yeah, guys, I've heard Dan say a lot of smart things today. Number one, agree completely. You drafted Jalen Hurts at 53 overall. When you had Carson Wentz, let's remember that.
Yeah,
a year ago, they thought Carson Wentz was the dude. He was the franchise quarterback. They still drafted Jalen Hurts. So how will you like him a year ago? Put a smile on your face today in your press conference, crying out loud. And the second point is, what you said earlier in the show, Dan, about being the guy and a guy, that is Jalen Hurts. You could talk to Nick Saban about it. You could talk to Lincoln Riley about it, because guess what? I have. And they say he is the guy, but he could be a guy. Mm-hmm. The leadership grades for Jalen Hurts coming out of college were off the charts good. You just went through a situation where your star quarterback got his feelings hurt, and you had to trade him. Jalen Hurts could bring that solidifying presence. And, oh, by the way, the offense was better when he was on the field last year. So you have to see what Jalen Hurts is. And guess what? At 6, you're going to be looking at Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts. So if he's not the guy, you have one of the best pass catchers in the draft going into next year when you can get a quarterback in 2022. But I don't think that's the case. I think Jalen will be the guy and a guy, which I'm going to steal and use from now on.
I hope he's the guy. I hope he has a tremendous amount of success. Ain't casting the aspersions on Jalen Hurts, but this the NFL. And if I'm sitting at 6 and I've identified a quarterback who I think is better or could be better or projects to be better, I'm going to take him. That's the nature of the league. Absolutely what you just said, Matt Miller and Dan. They drafted Jalen Hurts when we all thought Carson Wentz was a franchise quarterback. So it had everybody scratching their head. So don't come on here, both of y'all, and act like it's far-fetched that Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles brass may not be thinking about one of these quarterbacks in case Jalen Hurts doesn't pan out. Stop it.
Well, but you can't do that at 6. You can't do it at 6, though.
Right. And let me just say, I mean, Adam Schefter said on the show this week, take this to the bank, and I quote, that 4 quarterbacks would be gone in the top 6 picks. So I'm not sure who's going to still be there at 6 that would be a quarterback.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
How about the Patriots free agency? They've spent $148.6 million in guarantees on free agents this offseason. Goodness, that's now the most any team has ever spent in a single offseason. They spread the wealth pretty evenly, too, adding Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor on offense, Matthew Judon, Jalen Mills, and their old friend Kyle Van Noy on defense. So, when you think about all these moves and what they've done, let's go to Matt first. How do all these moves the Patriots made in free agency actually impact what they're going to do in the draft in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laura, we haven't seen the Patriots do this in free agency since 2001, which started the dynasty that we've all maybe finally seen come to an end here. But I think it does set them up. They have the number 15 overall pick in the first round of the NFL draft right now. What they're doing is checking all the boxes. Bill Belichick goes into his cave and says, okay, what are our needs for this offseason? Where do we have to get better? Well, you sign 2 starting tight ends. You improve the offensive line. You get depth at the wide receiver position, and you do bring back some familiar faces and some instant starters on defense. So right now, the Patriots don't have a surefire need at number 15 overall. What they also did was bring back Cam Newton on a 1-year deal at quarterback. So I see the Patriots as set up right now to try to climb the board to go get a quarterback in this draft. As we said in the last segment, 4 might go in the top 6 picks. If Adam Schefter says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So where do you have to get to? Maybe it's 7 overall where the Detroit Lions are right now. You want to get in front of Carolina. You want to get in front of Denver at 9, San Francisco at 12. So the Patriots, I think right now, guys, are set up with all those draft picks and all these needs filled to try to get into the top 10 for a quarterback.
Matt, you got Marcus sighing and waving his hands over there. Marcus, the Patriots need to go get a quarterback in the draft? Are they okay with Cam Newton as their starter?
Yes, they do need to go get a quarterback. But hold on. Didn't I just, like 7 minutes ago, Laura, didn't they just say that Philly shouldn't draft a quarterback?
Yeah, but now we're talking about the Patriots, okay? And the Patriots were aggressive in free agency.
I'm trying to I'm trying to put this together because Cam Newton has had a lot of success in this league.
Mark
He's
taking
the guy
over
and
here.
A guy.
Come on.
He has the locker room and all of that. Like, Cam Newton played more games. Jalen Hurts played four games. So why is it not far-fetched for New England to just roll with Cam Newton as opposed to trying to go up and get a quarterback? But I do agree with them. I just said that to bring up a point. Listen, if you can go get Trey Lance, build for the future based on how you've built this roster, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm with it. If you've identified those guys, just like I said about Philly, or that guy, if you can go up and get him, go get him if he's going to take your franchise into the future.
Yeah, and Dan, you have said that you think these moves the Patriots have made have been to draft specifically Trey Lance. But what's the most important thing they need to evaluate about him before they draft him?
His flaw. His flaws that are going to hold him back. Most franchise quarterbacks don't not make it because they're not talented enough. Most fail because they have a flaw that you don't get fixed. That's what the Patriots would have to do with Trey Lance. I want you to watch the top of his drop mechanics. Watch his right leg here, okay? At the top of his drops, he is standing straight up. That is completely straight. And that forces body lean forward. Now watch all the wasted movement. He's got to go up in the air. His feet come together. That in the NFL does not work. That slows you down with timing, rhythm, your eyes, anticipation. It screws with your accuracy. You know who used to do this? You know whose fatal flaw that was as well? Mitchell Trubisky.
Ooh.
And he never got it fixed, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what the Patriots have to ask themselves. What's his flaw? And if that flaw, can we coach it out of him? Can we develop it out of him, and can we minimize it? Because once you do that, that's when the talent gets to take over. Now, what's Trey Lance's talent? First of all, very good and quick decision maker. You got to have both. Don't be a quick decision maker and a stupid idiot. You got to make quick decisions that are good with the football. Second of all, you got to value the football. You got to value it. Don't protect it, but value it. And third of all, you've got that intangible DNA, great leadership. Beloved by your teammates.
Yeah.
You've got this drive to go be great. You've got a work ethic that is unmatched. You got to find out his flaw, New England, and if you can coach it out of him, you should go get him.
Matt.
Yeah, I know Marcus thinks that maybe they keep Cam Newton. He's 32 years old almost, by the way. So I think with Trey, you can get a quarterback who can learn a lot of the same things that you're doing with Cam Newton, the quarterback powers, the RPOs, the deep shots. So if you want that next quarterback to be similar to the guy you have now, if they're going to completely go away from the Tom Brady, Ryan Mallett, Matt Castle type quarterback and finally modernize this offense, Trey Lance is the perfect person to sit behind Cam Newton for a year and then take over for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick in 22.
Yeah, hey, maybe the Patriots are going to get more rings, but our guy Matt actually just handed out a ring recently. Congrats on the engagement, guy. We're so excited for
congrats.
You.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
It's so
love
cool.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. I love it.
Especially
hey, we'll
between this crew.
Yeah, a lot of love here. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.